known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts. Somebody stole my book. Somebody done stole my book. It's probably there. Please be seated if you would. And let's have the children come forward for the children's message. And while the children are coming forward, need to remind you of something. Ken Nance has a birthday today. So happy birthday to Ken. Many blessings. You have a wonderful day, my friend. And also, I understand Wendy Edson has a birthday today. So happy birthday to Wendy. Were y'all born the same year, same day, same year? I thought, actually, you were a little older than Ken. Is that, are you born for, okay. Just so we could clarify that. Happy birthday to you guys.
Good. Well, today's a special Sunday where we talk about one of the stories that we see. And it's an important story when we're moving into Lent, which is the time before Easter. And so I'm going to talk about that story because that's in one of our readings here. Now, it's called the Transfiguration of Jesus. Transfiguration's a big word, huh? Does anybody know what it means? No? Transfiguration means that Jesus changed the way he looked, okay? Now, the story is that he had some of his disciples, and they went up onto the top of a mountain, and he was changed to look like, with all the glory and everything, his clothes were shining and his face was shining, and he looked like all of the glory and power that he really has, because remember, he's really God and he's really a man. So it looks like to his disciples, just like he really is, with all the power and all the glory, because he's God. Now, why would that happen? Why did that happen, do you think? Because during that, all of a sudden, he's with Elijah and Moses, and he's talking with them, and then God comes down in a cloud, and he talks to the disciples, and he says, listen to my son, the chosen one, and all these really cool things happen, and the disciples, a couple of them are sitting there watching. Why do you think all of that would happen? Anybody have an idea? Anybody? No? No. Well, it's kind of difficult to think about because that seems like a really cool thing, but we might not know why it might happen. But the way somebody put it was the disciples were about to see Jesus do a bunch of really cool things, and then they were going to see him die on the cross, and then they were going to see him raised from the dead, but he was going to die, and they weren't really expecting that. And that's what we're going to get into is Lent and then Easter and everything, and Good Friday when Jesus dies on the cross. We're about to get into those. But the way one person put it was, it's like when you're reading a book, and if you're reading a book and all of a sudden you get to a scary part, what are you going to do? You might stop reading, right? You might want to not read anymore. So what could you do? You might be able to cheat a little bit and move to the back and see if how it turns out and see if everything turns out okay, right? And that's kind of what happens with the Transfiguration. They are able to, God allows some of the disciples to see what God is going to do and who Jesus really is. What's up? Yeah, if somebody's getting scared or getting hurt in the book that we're reading, we might want to flip to the back and see how it turns out, right? See if everybody's okay. And that's kind of what happens with the Transfiguration. They're able to see what's going to happen, see who Jesus really is, see his glory, and then God tells them to listen to Jesus because that's the kind of glory and power that he has. And some of the disciples are able to see that kind of a little bit before the rest of the scary stuff that's going to happen. Isn't that pretty cool? That's a pretty nice thing that God did then, huh? Just to make sure that they understood that it's all going to be okay, right? So let's remember on the Transfiguration Sunday, let's remember the stuff that's going to come up in Lent and Good Friday. Sometimes that's not too nice to think about because Jesus dies on the cross, but he's raised from the dead, and his death on the cross means that we can be with him forever. And so we know how the story turns out, so we need to remember that. Even when we get into these things where we're talking about all the other stuff that could be a little scary, right? All right, let's pray, and then we'll get a sucker, and y'all can go to Children's Church. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us and how you always show us that you love us, and especially today with Transfiguration Sunday, we just ask that you constantly remind us of how the story turns out and how we can be with you forever. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all. If you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord, send us free to be free.
Let us pray. O God, at the glorious transfiguration of your only Son, you confirm the mystery of our faith by the witness of the disciples and by your own voice from the cloud. Mercifully complete our adoption as your children and give us with our King an inheritance of his glory. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Here ends the reading. Let us read responsively from Psalm 99. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion, he is high above all people.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. The second reading comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence to our boasting in our hope. Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please begin with a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that you have given us. We thank you for all scripture, and we do pray today that you might help us to divide this rightly, that we might get the words that you would have us say, and that you might open all of our hearts and minds to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. The transfiguration, a lot of people had desired to see this. There had been multitudes who had desired to see something like this. I think there have been multitudes since it has happened who would like to have seen this thing. I know I would have liked to have seen the transfiguration. I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have been there that day to see this blessed event. But what do we get from the transfiguration? Well, let's go back just a little bit before this text, just a little bit before this in the Gospel of Luke. There have been a lot of questions about who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, the disciples have gone out, they've come back, and they're all excited right before this, and they're telling Jesus all of the great things that have happened and everything that went on while they were out doing what God had called them to do. And then they started saying, and boy, people were really talking about you. And they were saying, oh, you're this and you're that and you're him and you're this one and you're that one. And Jesus said, well, let me ask you a question. Who do you say that I am? Well, they said, well, some say you're the prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this, you're that. But Jesus says, no, what do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the very living God. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, I will build my church upon this because of what Peter had said. Not upon Peter, but upon what Peter had said. That he is the Christ, the Messiah. Well, now we move forward a little bit, and we see this transfiguration happening on the mount, and the disciples still are not quite sure what's happening. Now, Moses and Elijah show up. They are there in all of their glory. Now, what do they represent? Well, Moses represents the law. The law. What a wonderful thing is the law. The law is our schoolmaster. It convicts us. It teaches us that we are sinners. It lets us know that we are breaking the law. I've used this a million times, like a speed limit sign. If you don't have a speed limit sign, then how do you know you're breaking the law? So that is what the law does for us. It teaches us that we are sinners, and it convicts us, and it lets us know that we cannot find salvation on our own. It's incomplete. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, but it can never bring salvation. So it is lacking something, is the law. And then we see the prophet Elijah. Now, one could make a great argument that probably Moses is the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. You could even make a legitimate argument that Elijah is the greatest prophet of all the prophets in the Old Testament. Great prophet is Elijah. Well, what do the prophets do? They point towards Christ. You see, we look back at the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. But what did they do? They looked forward, and the prophets pointed towards Christ, pointed towards the Christ, the Messiah who would come. But yet, it's still incomplete without Jesus. You see, the law and the prophets are wonderful. They're a great thing. Jesus himself said, I did not come here to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And then, all of a sudden, as soon as the event is over, the dust is cleared, they have witnessed maybe one of the greatest events in the history of the entire world. Then Peter, like usual, sticks his foot in his mouth and he says, Lord, it's good that we were here. Let us erect a tent for each one of you. See, he's equating Jesus with them. That cannot be done because they are incomplete. Moses and the law is incomplete. It can never bring salvation. Scripture says that if salvation could be brought by the law, then rightly salvation would come from the law. But the law cannot save you. The prophets just pointed towards what was to happen. So they are incomplete in and of themselves. Wonderful are the prophets. Great are the prophets. But they are not the completeness of what God wants for us. And that is found only in Jesus Christ. So Peter says, let us put three tents up for you. And then what happens? A cloud comes in. This is kind of reminiscent of Moses on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and he's in the cloud, and they're wondering if he's dead, and there's lightning, and there's all these things. Very frightening thing to happen to a human being. And all of a sudden, out of the cloud, and they're scared as this cloud is getting ready to consume them. And then out of the cloud, a voice arises and says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. The Father is trying to convey the point that this is not the law. This is not the prophets. No, this is the total fulfillment in Jesus Christ of both of those. And there is no one else who can bring salvation. There is no one else, no other voice. There are lots of great voices. There are lots of great teachers. There are lots of great preachers. There are lots of great theologians. There are lots of great statesmen. You could go down the list, but there is no one who is more important to you and I and to this world than Jesus Christ. Because there is no one else who will provide salvation for you, and he has done that 2,000 years ago. I hear people say, well, we need to have salvation offered. It was 2,000 years ago, and then you are brought into the church through baptism. God has provided Jesus Christ for us, and there is nowhere else to go. If you will look a little bit before the gospel text in your bulletin, we do this with the canticle, the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Won't be doing alleluia next week. It'll be returned to me because we're going to be in repentance and sackcloth next week. But alleluia. Now listen to this. Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else you can go except to Jesus. You can't go anywhere but to Jesus. The law is great, but it can't save you. It can't redeem you. The prophets are wonderful. They're great, but they cannot save you or redeem you. Only Jesus has and can do that for anybody. He is the one who has the words of eternal life. No preacher, no great teacher, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the only one who has those words. He is the only one that you can turn to. And I pray today that we will turn towards him, that we will forsake all other things. I am all for education. I am all for learning and reading and seeking other things. I am all for looking at things that I don't agree with, because I'm open-minded enough to know there are people who have convictions and who disagree with me, and that they are not bad people. They just happen to have come to a different conclusion than I have about things, and that's fine. That's fine. I have changed my tune on certain things over the years because I have come to a realization that I was wrong. I hope we can all be that open-minded. But here's the thing. You can get all the degrees you want. You can read all the books on theology, psychoanalytics, history, science, progressivism, conservatism. You can read it all. But you're going to find out one thing. Only Jesus has what you truly need. He is the only one that you can look to. When the dust cleared here, all that was left was Jesus. The Father said, "This is my Son, listen to me." I beg each and every one here today, myself included, listen. Listen to him, for he has the words of eternal life. No one else has those. I pray today that today, every day, we will listen to him, heed his word.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people. In the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in the Eucharist and enjoy God's blessings of grace and mercy upon you. Let's all stand as we're able for the post-communion blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you to eternal life. And now may the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. His grace shine upon you, gracious to you each and every day. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.